since before recorded time. It had swung through the universe in an elliptical orbit so large that its very existence remained a secret of time and space. But now, in the last few years of the 20th century, the Visitor was returning. The citizens of Earth would get an extra Christmas present this year as their planet orbited through the tail of the comet. Scientists predicted a light show of stellar proportions, something not seen on Earth for 65 million years. Indeed, not since the time that the dinosaurs disappeared, virtually overnight. There were a few who saw this as more than just a coincidence. But most didn't.
This is the emergency podcast system. This is not a test. Movies are bombing all over the country. They are posing as movies you already know. They may already be in your theaters, your neighbor's home, or even your own. Do not panic. Specialists have been dispatched. They will help you identify these pretenders and defend you against this invasion of the remake. Please stand by for further instructions.
Welcome to the Invasion of the Remake podcast. I am your last host of the world, Jason Bishop. Oh, actually, I got two survivors with me. Sam Stepanenko.
I ain't red dust yet.
And Trish Coughlin. You got a little something around your eyes, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is just a normal rash. I'm not dying.
That is great. Do you need some cream?
No.
Are you stressed out, Trish?
A little bit stressed, yeah. You know what? Here's the deal. If an apocalypse doesn't stress you out, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Well, she is pretty dumb.
True.
This week, continuing our week, 2 weeks anyway, celebrating women in horror, we've got Night of the Comet, a kind of girl power last woman on Earth scenario. In a lot of ways, this movie harkens back to our very first episode when we talked about the Omega Man and I Am Legend.
Yep.
This is kind of the teenage girl power version of this. Director Tom Eberhardt had kind of conceived this idea of wanting to do something with zombies and teenage girls, and he just stuck a bunch of girls in a room and ask them questions about what would they do at the at the end of the world. And this is kind of the result of that until he raised the question of, well, what about the boys? If there's no boys, and they're like, oh. So there's not actually a lot of thought, because the first thought, it seems to be, at least in 84, was, all right, we can have fun. We can go shopping and do all these things. And so this movie's about Valley Girls at the end of the world as this comet passes by the Earth, leaving its dust and radiation trail. Mm-hmm. And those that are fully exposed to it just dry out into dust. Red dust. And that is it. And those that were partially irradiated are going to go through the same thing, but they're doing it much slower as their faculties degrade, and there's the zombie portion of it as well.
Intelligent zombies.
They are intelligent zombies, yes. It does happen slowly, and even when they go through the rage attacks, they might try little tricks to, it's like, hey, come here.
Yeah.
They're fairly obvious and creepy, but...
Because they look like fucking zombies.
Yeah.
Well, you've got zombie cops in this one.
Yep.
So that was, like, they're police officers, so they just kind of continue to be really crappy police officers.
Well, technically, those two biker cops were the real deal. They were actual cops that had closed the streets during those morning shoots.
Yep.
And they just used them as extras.
They were very good. I love that idea where it's like going, because I mean, you're thinking zombies, you're thinking mindless shuffling things. I'm like going, well, no, they're riding motorbikes, so they can't be zombies.
Yeah, and I like that. That's part of what I really enjoy about this movie is the intelligent zombie. Right.
Yeah, I'm not even sure if calling them zombies accurate, but they do list this as a zombie movie. Yeah. So
it's a deterioration. I think, because they do talk about how it's deteriorating and how, like, your intelligence has affected your memory.
Yeah. Now, I do have a problem with this, because we have those scientists that are in the bunker that had theorized this is the same comet from 65 million years ago that wiped out the dinosaurs. So they're kind of onto it, and they get into this bunker, but they leave the windows open? They left the vents?
It's not steel, and B, they left, like, the fans and the air circulation open, which is the problem.
Yes. We have outside air circulating in houses and buildings and things like that. So even when they were in the steel reinforced areas, they still have outside air coming in. So if you got Sam hiding out in the shed, and the other one hanging out in the movie theater in the film vault,
there's some bits that
doesn't make a lot of sense.
No. there's some flaws in the logic. There's a few logic flaws that we have to fix.
Well, they do,
and you figure this is radiation sickness.
Yeah. And they do talk about how they're basically spoilers. This is an old movie. Screw it.
Yeah,
you can have spoilers.
It's 1984. You had your shot.
They're harvesting the survivor's blood because these people appear to be immune to whatever it is, kind of. So that's sort of the part where, like, yeah, they might not have been completely sheltered, but they might just have that genetic immunity to whatever.
And that's all obviously a possibility as well. If you have survivors, you'll want to do research. But these scientists were pretty cavalier. They didn't care if the survivors actually survived the scientific process.
Oh, no.
In fact, they were going out of their way to create them brain dead, just blood farms.
Well,
survivors.
Yeah, but this is all specific. Like, I guess that they had to be military because the whole point is, like, no, we need to survive. Fuck everybody else.
Yeah, but you could also say that maybe part of that is the moral degradation, because that scene in the mall as well, where the boys who were just stock boys that had survived and kind of turned into almost this roving rape gang.
Yeah, they were
what the hell?
Like, that's a major shift in mentality.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a major shift in mentality, or maybe that was just their darker, baser instincts.
And that could be argued too.
And that was it. Like, the social bit where, like, your higher self knows something is wrong and your lower self doesn't give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
So their higher self is gone. So the lower self just takes over.
Well, and I mean, we're assuming that they weren't already starting to progress from the radiation as well.
Yes.
Right?
That's what I'm saying. But like, the radiation is deteriorating your higher functioning.
Well, the first thing I know of, if you get sick, the first thing everybody goes for are the sunglasses. Because they're worried about the other sick people seeing your crazy eyes.
Yeah. That was kind of funny.
The rare survivor that notices your eyes, that's who you want to hide it from. Let's face it, the bulk of people who were surviving were the sick zombie people.
Yes.
They were still upset about their eyes.
Well, it's cheaper than doing makeup.
It was, because, this movie was shot on a $700,000 budget. It's minuscule, even in 84. And that's pretty tiny.
Yeah, and I mean, there are times where you can tell, and then there's times where you're like going, that's pretty good.
Yeah, like, I mean, I loved the atmospheric quality of all of it. Like,
yeah,
the red use of, sky.
Yeah, their use of color is really great. They accomplished quite a bit in this movie. I mean, they use minimal locations despite being in Los Angeles, and that's something we can certainly work around with modern sets, and as well as flexing your studio muscle a little bit to close streets. These guys with the minimal budget couldn't afford a lot, so they had to shoot in the mornings before people got to work. And even if they're that mall, they were shooting at night while nobody was at the mall.
Yeah.
So nothing stops. The city doesn't stop because you want to shoot a movie.
No.
Especially when you have no money to buy your way into that.
Well, it's like Chopping Mall. Chopping Mall did the same thing.
Yeah. But at least it was one mall, would have been all night shoots.
Yeah.
And you could get used to that. So this was probably all night and morning shoots.
Yeah. They'd shoot in the mall, and then they'd go and do their sunrise shots and then sleep all freaking day.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a fairly dark movie. There's not a lot that takes place in daylight. I mean, there's some stuff at the beginning of the movie, and then at the end, the rest is all nighttime stuff, right?
I would think the radio station was probably the only thing that would have been a set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it actually felt like one.
Yeah, it did feel like one. It was cool, though. Yeah.
It was so 80s. I loved it. I loved it, like the big couch and just
this
like
is actually
radio station
kind of a
with
favorite
the neon
of yours, isn't it?
I love this movie. I love it so much. When I was a kid, okay, I'm going to date myself. back in my little town where we rented the movies was before we got the video place was Radio Shack. I rented this movie a lot from Radio Shack because I love this movie. It's so good. And when you talk about, like, the, he asked teenage girls, the mall sequence, that was my dream.
This is actually kind of one of those fun, good, bad movies. And I'd never seen this before this week. No.
And it also appealed to also something very key to just me as a young girl, whereas they complain about the quality of the guns they're getting. And I'm thinking, yeah, no, if I was in an apocalypse, I too would probably get pissy if I didn't get a good quality gun.
Dad would have got his Uzis.
He would have probably gotten AR-47s. Uzis are pointless. You need something that can both shoot.
Fun fact, though, that was completely ad-lib because it wasn't planned for that gun to jam like that.
Oh, nice.
So because of the limitations and the budget and the time restraints that they were under, the director said, if there are any problems, react to it like you're in character.
Oh, cool. Yes.
Perfect. So they just ran with it in character.
Yeah.
And that was all ad lib. It wasn't in the script because the fake gun had jammed and didn't fire like it was supposed to.
Yeah.
And so she came up with that Uzi line, which is hilarious. And it feels perfect. Very classic for this movie.
And natural for that character, too.
It does. Right? So kudos for rolling on that.
Well, and
Liz Maroney rocked it.
Yeah, well, she did. That's the thing about this movie is it's got a cast of people who haven't had huge careers, but they're so talented. Like, every single person in this movie is actually really quite engaging.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you feel like they're their characters.
Yeah, no, like, with Catherine Mary Stewart, after watching this movie, I'm like, how come we didn't hear more about her? Like, how come she didn't get bigger roles out of this? How come neither one of them did?
I know, they were so good.
Yeah, and I mean, Kelly Maroney was Fast Times at Ridgemont High, right?
Yes.
So it's not like she didn't get some good moments in good movies.
Yeah.
Well, Catherine Mary Stewart, she stepped back from film to raise her family. That's why we didn't see much of her, right?
That's
fair. She's back now. She's been looking for roles as a mature adult now, or a mature woman, I guess.
Yeah, I noticed both of them are acting again.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were, you could see the breaks in there.
Yeah.
They need to be back. They're good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah, very talented actresses. And Robert Beltran was so good as well.
Yes.
Yes.
Again, as a young girl watching this movie, I was like, ooh, like, I did have like an Eansy crush on Hector. I was like, okay, you know what? Because in my head, I'm like going, okay, for like the last man that's like alive around you, I'm like, he's a pretty decent guy. I'm like, score. So I was so happy.
So you must have really liked Star Trek Voyager.
Yeah. Didn't recognize it was him. It was far from where I started seeing that and from when I was my little, little girl brain 10, was starting to realize stuff.
Between, yeah.
That's one of the things I wanted to fix was he's way underutilized in this movie.
Yeah, I'd like to see him come in earlier in the...
I want to see more of his, like, because I do still want them to kind of split up, because he is going to San Diego to see his family. But I want a little bit more of that journey. All you get is really
I actually kept thinking that they were going to go with.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of weird. And it does feel like, even though they have the fun little shopping trip together and stuff, it does feel like it's an empty part in the script.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe it should have been, we're just going to sit here for a bit, try to figure out what we're going to do. But I mean, I thought when I watched this is because they got that phone call, because they got that notification that there was somebody out there, I had it in my head that they were staying put because of that, because they hoped that they could make contact again.
Yeah, because whoever was on the other side of that call knows where they are.
Yeah, yes, so and like that would moving make sense. Away would be just a dangerous move. So.
And counterproductive, yeah. And they did a great job explaining why both girls were very competent, like physically, with using the guns and being able to fight and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's part of their backstory with their father.
But Hector knows how to plant bombs on cars.
That's something that needs to be fixed.
Yes, because it also plays to Spanish gang stereotypes.
That's
that
the thing.
I'm not comfortable with.
But I have to say, even getting away from that, but like the high moment I had from him was when he was pretending to be like some guy's like, how are you doing? How you doing there, partner? Like going all Texan on this guy.
Yeah.
I was like, that's awesome. Just go with that.
Yeah, there are lots of fun moments in there. Like I said, his character needs a little more development.
Yeah.
We need to explain why he's so competent at things that he shouldn't be competent at.
Yeah, for a guy who was a truck driver.
Yeah.
Now, if he was a wheel man,
well, I
might
thought
be a
maybe
different story.
He maybe he did have some military experience, but he's like, yeah, it wasn't really for me. So, like, first chance to get out of it.
And that's just the thing. You could just pad that with some dialogue if you want.
And it could be like, he could be like, she could tell him about her dad who was like in the military. He's like, that wasn't for me. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. Now, I feel like this movie lends itself well to opening up because, like I said, it keeps to just a couple of core locations, but because it is modern filmmaking now, it opens up the greater Los Angeles area to them as a whole, if not all of Southern California. So if we even keep it there, but it shouldn't feel as claustrophobic as it does. Yeah. And again, that was because of the limitations of the budget, and that is fine, but you can do a lot more now, even on a minimal budget these days. Ooh,
and what I was thinking, like, even with the minimal budget, what I loved was the idea is all they did was they dropped, like, clothing all over the place with, like, little puddles.
Oh, so simple, but
dust, but so effective.
Your mental image, because there's still kind of body shapes within that dust. So just the set decks was smart. It was so fantastic. So they got themselves a bunch of dirt and laid it around with the clothing that the cast was wearing and the extras were wearing.
Like,
and
you
want to
make it red, just
and you figured it out.
Yeah. And I love that scene where she picks up the shoe and dumps it out, just saying, this is this person, right?
Yeah.
It was the guy their stepmother was having an affair with.
It took her a while, but it clicked.
Yeah. Well, the poor girl, she picks up her dog's leash and she's like, there's no dog in it. But there was no dust. That was my only note.
Hey, we see movie stars walking around with leashes and no dogs. So, like, this happens in real life now.
Well, no. See, and I only ever saw a leash with no dog when the rodeo clown came out with his little special wired dog leash that he had an invisible dog. That is my opening for that.
All right. Well, I'm going to run the trailer for Night of the Comet, and we're going to get right into it. And first thing I want to do is define what a modern Valley Girl, what the equivalent of it is in the modern day.
Did you ever wonder what it would be like to be one of the last people on Earth?
We're talking ghost town!
Who would you see?
There's nobody. I mean, there's nobody.
What would you do?
Hey, I'm sorry if the end of the world makes me a little nervous.
Where would you go?
The stars are up ahead!
Well, get ready to find out, because the comet is coming into your orbit.
The legal drinking age is now 10, but... you will need ID. Let's be real.
It's the Night of the Comet.
What do you give me if I come back?
Texas?
Night of the Comet.
I'll be taking requests from all you teenage comet zombies.
The night the teenagers ruled the world.
Yeah!
Night of the Comet.
The burden of civilization is on us.
Fiction, isn't it?
That was Night of the Comet from 1984, written and directed by Tom Eberhardt, or Thom. I'm not sure how you pronounce it, because there's an H in there that doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
I think you can say it Thom, because Thomas is with an H.
All right, that works for me. So Thom Eberhardt, who wrote and directed this, who also directed Without a Clue and Captain Ron.
Oh.
The original working title, do you guys know what the original working title was?
No.
Teenage Mutant Horror Comet Zombies.
Oh. Okay,
that needs to be AKA for sure. Yeah,
I love
the name of our remake.
I love it.
Yeah, it's not Night of the Comic Under Us.
No, I love that title. Of course, starring Catherine Mary Stewart, who we have talked about before in episode 48.
Last Starfighter.
She was also in Weekend at Bernie's. Kelly Maroney, who is in Chopping Mall, which was episode 212. We did that not that long ago. And as I mentioned before, she was also in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yes.
Robert Beltran, who some people will remember from Slam Dance, but most will remember him as Chakotay from Star Trek Voyager. Sharon Farrell was Doris Belmont. She was in the classic horror franchise It's Alive and Can't Buy Me Love.
Ooh.
Yeah. Mary Warrenov.
Warrenov? Warrenov, yeah.
Voronoff. She played Audrey White. She was the female scientist that always was bitchy. Yeah.
She was also in Chopping Mall.
Yeah. But she's also like the amazing one where you think she's bad, but she's really good.
She's the moral compass of this.
She is, yeah. She's a
group of scientists.
Yeah, I like how they kind of manipulate her character a bit. She's just angry.
Yeah, you think she's bad, but she's good.
You can also catch her in Warlock, and we will probably cover her again because she was in the classic Death Race 2000, which I am looking forward to covering one day. She was also in Devil's Rejects along with Jeffrey Lewis, who played Dr. Carter, and he's that guy who you've seen in everything.
He's that guy you've seen in everything,
and we first talked about him in Sam's first official episode as a regular host, which was episode 30.
Point in our return, La Femme Nikita.
That's right. Peter Fox was Dr. Wilson, and we talked about him way back in episode 87.
Oh, I missed that one.
Oh, that was Mother's Day.
Oh.
Also starring John Acheron as Oscar, Michael Bowen as Larry Dupree, who we actually talked about in episode 97.
Walking Tall.
And he's also in Kill Bill, Jackie Brown, and a bunch of other Tarantino. He's a Tarantino regular.
Nice.
Devin Erickson was Minder. Lisa Ling was Davenport. Ivany Roth was Willie, who was in another night that went bad called Night of the Creeps. I just wanted to drop in Mark Popel. He only showed up right at the end as DMK,
yes.
Danny Mason Keener. But I feel like he's important. He's a running joke, and he was also in Christine. Right.
And interestingly enough, both the kids in this movie, the ones that played the kids, we talked about both of them in different episodes.
I didn't actually write those kids down.
So. And I wasn't going to either, but I did, and sure enough, I found connections. Chance was in Arachnophobia, episode 145, and Andrew Boyer was in episode 158, Dreamscape.
Nice.
Awesome.
Yeah, so a couple I didn't write down, but that is awesome.
Cool.
The fact that they both connected to different episodes was kind of fun.
Crazy. So yeah, so they experienced those movies, and then in a shared universe, they've come together in this movie.
There seem to be a lot of disasters and post-apocalyptics within all of their careers, a good hunk of them anyway, not all of them. But
well, almost the entire cast is a cast of character actors, right? Yeah. Like Jeffrey Lewis, character actor, Mary Warrenoff, character actor, Michael Bowen is a character actor.
Robert Beltran
is a character actor. Like, it's just it is a cast of character actors.
It's too bad nobody on Voyager was really smart, because if they wound up in the Delta Quadrant, why didn't they just use the wormhole that was on DS9 to get back home? Probably because then they only would have got like a couple of episodes.
Yeah,
they were home. Exactly. Well, that wasn't so bad.
Because it was a narrative black hole.
it really was. Okay, so what is the Modern Valley Girl? And even these two, like, I wouldn't have put them in the typical Valley Girl, the way they talk and whatnot. They felt a little more average teenagers to me. Yeah. The older one was around 18. It was supposed to be 18. Yeah. They look older.
Yes.
And they were older. And then the youngest, I assume, was around 16.
16 or 17, just a little bit younger. I mean, Reg never felt like the shallow kind of what we consider a Valley Girl. She's tough, kind of rebellious.
Yeah, tough, rebellious.
Kind of a geek. She's talked about Superman and plays Tempest.
Well, I loved her for just that. She knew her comic books and she was playing Tempest.
I loved when they're having the argument. She's like, no, it's lead he can't see through.
And competitive. But she's also like discovering her sexual self as well.
Exactly.
Because this guy she's sleeping with at she's in charge with it. She's not, it's not serious.
No,
she says it earlier. She's not that upset when he's dusted.
What's she going to be mad about? Like, I
didn't even go looking for him.
No, well, she found his keys.
That's true.
She found his keys,
she kind of figured it out.
Yeah.
And when they're talking, when Hector asks her about him, she's like, well, I mean, we weren't exclusive. I don't like.
And even if they were, she's on the market now.
Yeah,
exactly.
And she can't afford to be picky.
And there's that one line where she says she thought she was pregnant at one time as well.
Yes.
Right?
So
she's been active for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, longest 3 weeks of my life. I love that line.
Yeah, there's some great dialogue in here. Considering it was written by a man, you really consider how in touch he was with the things that girls and young women experience.
I think that came from that workshop he did, right?
He did a good job with it.
He listened.
Yeah.
Yeah, and absolutely. And we still have guys who can do that. Like, Joss Whedon does strong female characters. And Joss Whedon took a lot of inspiration from this movie mm-hmm. for Buffy the Vampire Slayer, for that yeah. strong, independent girl, but also likes to just have fun and yeah. is just a typical party girl.
Exactly.
From that time. So, like, now we get to define what that is. Social media has certainly taken over. I can certainly see Sam being more to that side of things. Mm-hmm. The social media guru.
Instagram
star.
Yeah. Working trying to be an influencer.
Trying to be an influencer, doing a lot of selfies.
YouTube channel.
You can have so much fun with her.
Yeah, speaking as a middle-aged man who's never been a 16-year-old girl. So Trish,
well, that's what we know.
Chime in when you can.
Oh, sure. No, I'm down for that. But yeah, no, I mean, well, since I was a 16-year-old girl, I mean, a lot has changed. Yeah.
Thank God one of us was.
Yeah.
We were. But I mean, a lot has changed. Like, I think I weighed more with Reg's character. I was kind of more her milieu. Like, mm-hmm. nerdy stuff. I like what I like. Oh, yeah. I'm not going to apologize
for it. She's the type I would still date now. Yeah. Like, she's awesome.
That's who I was. That's who I still kind of am.
Yeah. I'd like our main character to still have some of those tomboy qualities, strong confidence.
Other people's approval does not matter.
Exactly.
So this could be also a big stressor between her and her younger sister. Her younger sister, if she's trying to get, like, what I'm guessing a lot of teenage girls are, is like that approval, that external approval.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a kind of a bit of a stress between the two of them, where she's like, she can't understand why her younger sister would do this.
Well, I also think, like, maybe she's been through those pressures already and mm-hmm. come out the other side of not giving a fuck.
Yeah.
Because she is a little bit older?
You could take a little bit from the fact that they were abandoned by their mother and she was that mother figure.
Yeah, I just assumed she was a stepmom, the way she acted, and wasn't maternal.
Oh, no, well, she was a stepmother. They explained that, right? That the mother bailed because dad was often fighting wars all the time.
And he married Doris.
And he married Doris. But you could sort of stretch a little bit there and make Reg have to have been the mother figure for a long time before Joyce came along.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't even want to have as much of that. Like, I'd like to see more of their social circle before the comet comes in. You know, the planning of those parties that they're invited to and she ditches or for something else.
Yeah.
Or both of them are finding alternatives.
Or Samantha is, like, really wanting to go to this party with her friends, but
we see more of that conflict with Sam at home trying to go to a party and maybe sneaking out and just having a breakdown somewhere. Yeah. Maybe she does go to the party and gets picked up in a vehicle that will shield her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
During all of this.
Oh my God. She ends up in a van.
She passes out.
She doesn't pass out. She ends up with the van with the boy she likes. And they've got it. And it's like one of those.
She sneaks out.
She sneaks out with the guy in the old van. And he's got, like, tinted windows.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, really? Little skeevy. Yeah. But that's also another thing that will come up later where her older sister's like, I cannot. Okay, look, I know this helped save you, but I cannot fucking believe you hooked up with that guy. He's so skeevy.
So she's smoking up in the back of the van with him. He's hoping to get busy.
Yeah, he's one of those older gentlemen who hangs out with teenage girls and it's creepy.
Yeah.
And
maybe he's going to take her to the party, but she passes out the back of the van. He stops for more booze.
Yeah.
But he's outside when.
Oh, yes. And then she wakes
when
up.
When the comet passes. Yeah. Okay.
So she avoids, narrowly avoids.
And
disaster.
We still have the conflict with the mom, so that's cool. And we all, I do like that because I feel like she's so mean, and she even gets physically abusive. So when she gets dusted, nobody feels too bad for her.
Well, and it's also because
and she's cheating on her husband too.
Absolutely. But I mean, it also would kind of bring home, like, when they're out in the world together and there's nobody else around. These two sisters have been on their own for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So falling into this dynamic isn't too hard for them.
And I can see her, like, Sam live streaming during this whole incident.
Trying to. She's still putting out her feed and stuff, but even though nobody's seeing it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's how they get communicated to. It's not a radio station. She's still trying to put out her feed.
Because
and
it's there's global, right?
And the comment section.
Yeah, it's going to take a little bit for, you know, the satellites to fizzle out and that sort of thing, and the power in the city to fizzle out as nobody's there to operate the turbines or whatever's powering Los Angeles. I don't even know what powers Los Angeles. I'm assuming a nuclear reactor or hydro.
I think Hoover Dam actually does.
I think
hydro.
I think. Yeah. Please don't yell at me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, we're Canadian.
Well, yeah, no. But I mean, like, yeah.
Isn't Hoover Dam Nevada?
Well, Hoover is in Nevada, but I think they do export electricity.
Okay.
But I mean, also, I think California does have, I don't get me wrong, I don't know. I thought they might have wind turbines or solar farms. They might have those as well.
It's not like they're not close to the ocean.
No. Well, yeah. And, like, solar farms would work in California, too.
But
yeah.
Regardless, it is going to take time for stuff to break down. This takes place over the course of just a few days. Yeah. Right? Yes. So society hasn't quite broken down yet. Well, society doesn't even exist anymore.
It was a pretty quick breakdown.
Yeah.
But the technology hasn't had a chance to sort of start failing and breaking down.
Yeah. And this could be our way of getting into that character's head by vlogging through her Instagram or her Twitter or her TikTok or whatever the kids are into these days.
Oh, man. There's so much you could have so much fun with this. It was it was like that idea that I had at one point too, where he's like, good morning, apocalypse, where you wake up and just try and do a morning show with the apocalypse. Like, today we're going to cook beans again because there's nothing else.
Now, I want
to
solve...
Oh, the food court. They go to the food court and eat all the food in the food court.
Mm. And malls aren't as popular as they used to, so I don't know if teens still hang out there. But I can certainly see the draw of shopping because Amazon's not going to be delivering anytime soon. No. Maybe the robots will.
Possibly. Have some fun with that. But somebody operates those still. They're not autonomous. But yeah, you can see the appeal of being able to go to a shopping mall and put on and try on anything you want. And not have to worry about paying for it.
Oh, we need a line of, like, I called an Uber, like, 2 hours ago.
Exactly. Yeah, my Uber is, like, stuck at this one spot forever. Oh, wait, we need a vehicle. Well, my Uber looks like the guy got turned into dust around here. So there's an Uber there.
And it was
we could just take his car.
It was a pretty nice car.
Exactly. It's an Uber Select.
Yeah. Uber Deluxe.
Uber Deluxe. Yeah, just, you think
throw,
you can use that.
Yeah, you got to throw a lot of pop culture in there. Now, we've figured out Sam, at least, her, and how to modernize her. Regina, Reg, is going to be a little tougher. You know, she works in the movie theater. They don't really have film vaults anymore because it's all just digitally delivered.
Yeah. That, and they don't have single screen theaters anymore.
And there aren't a whole lot of arcades anymore, which also causes a problem because I still want to keep the DMK joke. You know, this planted seed of DMK that is hit into the top 10 of her Tempest, which I thought was great. And then he shows up right at the end.
Yeah. And you can still do that. But I mean, because you still have sort of leaderboards on mobile games.
Well, I suppose we could.
But you can also have she works at an electronics store and she plays the games in between times. Which would also get her in trouble. You have that conflict. Uh-huh. Yes. And she'd be like, yeah, but I rock at this game. Yeah. That's how she sells stuff.
It doesn't even matter where she works. Like, where I work, I'm sitting right on a Pokestop. So the short time where I actually played Pokemon Go and, you know, I talked to friends, everybody kind of got into it at the same time before they dipped out, much like me. Mm-hmm. They'd run out of Pokeballs and stuff. And for me, I never ran out of anything because I was sitting on a Pokestop, while it was working. So I was constantly had everything.
Yeah.
And it was the easiest game in the world for me.
The reason I might go with she works at an electronics store is that it might be able to feed into how they ultimately get out the YouTube channel or communicate with other people.
Yeah.
Like, she's a bit of a techie head.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's a bit of a tech head. Like, she could work at, like, the cell phone thing, but part of also, she could also get in trouble where she's like, don't get the warranty. It doesn't cover anything that's actually going to happen to your phone, like physical damage or water damage. So, either it's a scam.
A phone thing or maybe a Best Buy so we can have other technology.
Yeah. There. Or something that resembles a Best Buy. Yeah. Actually, you just gave me an idea that could sort of play into why she survived, like the part of why she survives as well. Because we've sort of addressed how Sam survives, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a restaurant in Toronto that just opened in an old bank and they kept the vault. So this store could be in an old bank that still has its vault. And that's where they still store stuff. They use it as storage.
Well, we've been to clubs here.
Yeah, we have the bank.
The bank.
The bank.
Literally the bank.
Yeah, it's actually called the bank. Yeah. And it still has its vault in there.
Yeah, so you could do something like that where it's sort of like a trendy kind of thing to have this sort of refurbished bank as an electronic store, the sort of that juxtaposition of new technology in a very classy old bank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can modernize her as like even just a little hipster-esque. Not complete hipster, just a little bit.
Yeah, she's like sort of the Greta Thunberg influenced character. Right? Mm-hmm. She's kind of a little bit into the environment, but not really into the environment kind of character.
I feel like because it's now legal in California, we need to have a weed shop a moment in the film.
Absolutely.
All right, let's go get high.
That's our vault.
No shortage.
There we go. Yes.
Oh, maybe she works in. Maybe it's a converted bank that's been converted into a dispensary.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's even better than an electronics store, actually. And because she's stoned all the time, just like she's on her phone.
That's why she passed out in the vault. Yeah,
but I still want a little bit of where she's at least techie, because I feel this will help.
Oh, yeah. No, I think she's got her shit together.
I definitely like her being a bit of a stoner.
Yeah.
But the whole point is
she's going to play to the comedy
as well. She's a high-level stoner. She's like, okay, this one gives us we've had a very stressful day, so what we're looking at right now is we want this one because it gives us kind of a cool high, but we still have a clear head, and I want this one. Like, she just knows how to, like, she's the sommelier of weed. Yeah.
I can make you feel good without fucking you up.
Yeah.
There we go. Yes.
You want to start with this, but tweak out when you're coming down, you want to use a little bit of this. Yeah.
And she's partly to rebel against her dad, who's the military guy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She still has that training.
Oh, and at the end of it, part of the reason they survive is because of the weed.
It helps.
It's like they're going, I don't know why. Her cells are up in this bit, but it's like I don't know if it's maybe it's because of the chemicals that are in her system that she's completely immune to it.
Nice.
The dinosaurs didn't have weed. That was the problem. Or if they did.
Oh, that's where we have a chance to introduce Hector earlier, too. That's what he does, is he delivers product to the dispensary.
Nice. Oh, okay. I would like that she already kind of knows him as a delivery guy.
It feels a little more natural, right? So they're familiar with each other, but not familiar yet.
Would like it that she's still going out with that Larry guy, but he doesn't fucking like him. He thinks he's an asshole. Because he's a cool guy, but he's like going, oh, and also he might be older, so he's like, oh, she's just so young, I'm gonna be a gentleman.
I like it. I think that establishes relationships a little bit earlier in the film. It gives us a chance, and then she can even find out more about his background. You can sort of establish that earlier in the film too, right?
Mm-hmm.
That maybe he was in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And joined the military. And then
love it. Awesome.
He didn't want to be part of that stereotypical culture that we're all aware of, and I'm not even gonna say the words, but he decides to try a different path, and that doesn't work for him either. Now he's got a straight job where he gets a smoke pot.
And it might be the whole thing too, where he's like going, there's attributes about it where at least this gave me a bit of discipline, but I mean the rest of it I couldn't.
Now with Sam, I feel because she had this large social circles online and probably in real life, this pretty girl, popular girl within the school. And now not having that audience and talking through her phone is a way for her to emotionally deal with this, say goodbye to it, or at least pretend it's still there.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like her dream does.
Right? Yeah.
That's so,
this really would replace that.
Yeah, I think it would work really well.
We should see that meltdown, that realization is like, there's nobody there. And just that. She's like, yes, but I need this.
I do admit there's, when I'm thinking about this, I could see a high level of real dumb comedy where it could be a makeover episode, and it's somebody who's like, okay, so if you feel like you're kind of coming down with the red mist and your eyes are not quite popping like they usually do, what I'd like to take here is you take a number 5, black eyeliner, just take it around there. It really pops your eyes. And then with some nice shading.
You have that sunken in feeling.
Yeah, sunken in feeling. But we can give it some nice shading so that sunkenness doesn't look so apparent anymore, and then it's a little bit of now most of you want to go with mascara, but what I recommend are fake eyelashes.
That
those
would be
really
your
work.
your mid-credits bit.
Yes.
It would totally be because they've now sort of accepted the reality of their new world, and she's like, well, I'm still doing this because there are people out there who can hear her, right?
Mm. Yeah,
because they're not going to be the only people that survive.
Because if you're going to get turned to dust, you're going to look fabulous doing it.
Yeah. I could totally see that. I think that would be a fun mid-credits
scene. And for God's sakes, moisturize.
Oh, absolutely. Moisture, moisture, moisture. I cannot stress this enough. Oh, when they talk about how people dry out, when they're smoking the weed, and no, my mouth is so dry, they think that they're infected. They're not really.
Well, that's why you go to the CBD.
Yeah.
You need to go to the oils.
Oh man, we just opened this up wide open. I love it.
So many cottonmouth jokes now.
Now this movie actually is in development for a remake. I can't remember who's writing it. You can go on Wikipedia. It was a female writer who's turned in the script now. No director or cast is currently attached, so no time soon. So I figured we'd get to it first.
Awesome. Can I put my name out there to be a zombie? I would love to, especially if you intend on using our makeover segment. I would love to be that person.
I think there should be just a moment where you're seeing people's lives, because I mean, we could use special effects, so I don't want to cheat people out of the dusting. No. So maybe there should be a room of, say, podcasters who like to remake movies and pay for it by being dusted.
Yes.
This is what you get for doing this for over 200 episodes.
Oh no.
Almost 250. Well, 230 almost.
Yeah, no, yeah. We're 227, I think, this week.
Yeah, 230. That's nothing to sneeze at, because that's the amount of kilometers you do in the ride for cancer, and they tell you it's 200, but it's 30 kilometers over, and you can't round to the nearest 100 kilometers because it's evil.
Whoa, I think we discovered a trauma.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's for a good cause, and it's quite good to do, and you feel very accomplished at the end of it. But don't tell me it's 200 when it's 230. That's a lie, and it's a very painful lie.
That's an excessive lie. That's a lot of extra kilometers.
That is a lot.
Right? Yeah, but you round to the nearest 100. That's a huge lie. Dare you?
That's big.
Yes, that's why I was furious.
What do you mean I got 30 more kilometers?
Yep.
Motherfucker.
First day, not 100, 118. No!
And it was for cancer, right?
Yes, it was for cancer.
Because if it was for heart disease, they probably did wind up killing a few people on that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, if you want people to care less about cancer, lie to them about the fundraising. Okay,
so we've fixed our main characters, our three mains, as far as how they meet, how they come together. Before we get to the think tank.
The evil scientists.
The evil scientists, the Star Labs. What fun shall we have in an empty city of Los Angeles?
Ooh, I want to keep, there's just sitting on the cop car. But I want to ride around in a cop car with the sirens going.
Of course, yeah. Who wouldn't want to do that?
And and a fire truck and an ambulance.
Now, I mean,
they could race them.
Yes,
there's Universal Studios over there in Hollywood and Disneyland, but I think Zombieland kind of blew it for us on that. So
yeah,
I guess we could probably skip that.
I would say we skip that, but I mean, there's so.
But
many...
if you're going to go shoplifting. In the apocalypse,
Beverly Hills,
Rodeo Drive. Yeah. Go for the good stuff. Yeah. Don't go to the fucking mall.
Yeah, exactly. And then at a certain point, the girls are praying. I was like, no, wait, we can't stop now. And they
private shopping.
Yeah, they do the pretty woman thing. And then one of them has to play the mean sales girl, and the other one has to play Julia Roberts. And then they swap, because that's what my dream would be.
Yes, I love it.
And that would be the kind of thing that sisters would do. They'd have a lot of fun with that.
Yes. Okay, now you're Julia Roberts, and I'm the mean sales girl.
And you could have a lot of fun with the rich bitch zombies, too, right?
Oh, yes.
Right? They're walking around with their diamonds and their fancy clothes, looking like they do.
We need death by selfie stick.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, but we replace the stock boys in the regular mall with bitches in the high-end stores.
Oh, I love it.
Yes.
I don't think you belong here. And they're wearing sunglasses that are like, these sunglasses, yes, I may be infected, but these are $5,000 sunglasses.
I look good while I'm dying.
Yes, that's how it, yes.
Yeah, because that makes more sense than the guys do, because I'm sorry, but if you're the last guys on Earth and you see the last two girls on Earth, the last thing you're thinking about is eating them.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but we don't know how far they've gone down.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, those guys in the mall, I don't even know what their motivations were other than
I got nothing
just fucking around with these girls just to torture them.
Yeah.
Like, that's horrible. But maybe they were just shitty people to begin with.
That's what I was saying, is like, maybe this is
who
they really were.
If we'd seen them before, like I said, I wanted to see their social circles and stuff. And if we'd learned that these were known kids to them through high school or within.
And they were the outcast troublemaker guys. Yeah.
If we'd already seen them before and known what their attitude was, if they were nice people and then the moral degradation, at least
it would have been interesting.
It would have made sense. We would have seen that as part of the progression. Mm-hmm. If we were introduced to them earlier to find out what kind of people they actually were, instead of a little line, we're like, well, they were stock boys. They seemed okay.
I didn't get it at all. That was just, it felt, that felt like filler.
It did. And there's a lot there that feels like filler for this short 95-minute film. There are times where it's just like, well, there's a whole lot of empty padding here.
Yeah.
For, it probably felt like a one-hour TV special.
When that time could have been better used to fill out things like the think tank, evil scientist space, where it explained sort of why they were there and what they were doing in the first place, because they're just all of a sudden they're trying to find a reason and a cure for the red mist.
Well,
disease.
I mean, in modern society too, you would have figured we would have had probes up there looking at this comet, taking tests, researching this thing for the first time, because it's, if it had last time it came by was 65 million years ago, they want to take a look at this thing.
Absolutely.
And if it's flying this close to the planet, it's also probably considered a planetary threat. So they're wondering, okay, how close is it going to get? Is it just going to be
it's going to miss us?
Is it going to miss us? The NASA's going to be involved in that type of research as well, so we wouldn't have this clandestine research going on. And if you tell the society, oh, it's gonna be coming by, it's gonna be visible in the sky. We've actually been through this, Sam.
Yes.
When we were, teenagers, I think there was, I don't think it was a comet, but it was an asteroid or meteor that was very visible in the daytime.
Yes.
That it was a near miss. In fact, we got one coming
a few years ago. There was one that was
one coming in just in a few months that is going to miss us by about 1 million miles. It's considered really close.
That's close.
That's really close.
That is really close.
From an astronomical perspective,
in interplanetary distances, that is really close.
It's really
close. We're moving faster than you think we are.
As
a planet, we're really killing it on moving.
Yeah. So it's something we've seen within our lifetime. Yeah. And I remember, people looking up, and that was a kind of a big news thing, and it was a big deal.
Yeah.
And everybody, I don't know if we had the parties, but I was a little young for that.
We definitely
still
need some flat earthers out there in this movie going like, oh no, that doesn't matter. It's not, they're feeding us bullshit. The earth is flat and they're lying to us.
That could be great during the opening credits as we see how the world reacts, or at least the greater Los Angeles area is reacting to it, setting up the parties, setting up people's reaction to it in news stories.
Yeah.
That would be great.
It would be great. And actually, that could explain our think tank a little bit better, too.
And we can start setting up the researchers as well.
They don't have to be necessarily entirely researchers.
Maybe they're not. Maybe we do hear the NASA side, the scientist side. And these are the crackpots of the conspiracy guys.
Yeah. And that's why they survive, is they're in an old nuclear bunker they made out of concrete.
Yeah, because they'd be out there too. Yeah.
Let's make them not so much crackpots. Just make them a little bit less crackpots. Have maybe one or two of them crackpots.
Who's that radio guy? He'd be one of those guys who'd be leading that charge. Yeah, he's a big conspiracy guy. He used to show up on Jesse Ventura's TV show.
Oh, yeah, I can't remember his name, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
He got in trouble not that long ago.
Is he okay? See, here's the problem I have with that. You're making these guys heroes in a certain aspect.
Oh, no. No, no, no.
They're just conspiracy theorists and they just put money into it? Okay,
and
I'm down with that.
And that explains sort of why they're acting in the aggressive manner that they are, instead of a pure scientist would not be sacrificing other human beings.
Okay, that works.
Whereas these guys are...
Yeah, he'd be anti what the scientists are saying. Yeah. Well, that's because you're voluntarily drinking the fluoride in the water.
Yeah.
Don't be drinking the water.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be drinking the Kool-Aid. He's that guy.
Yeah. I so miss Jeffrey Lewis now, because he would have been perfect in that role.
Oh my God, he would have been.
He would have been absolutely great in that
type
of role.
I know. When I was trying to cast, I was like, oh. Oh no.
We kind of have that point and counterpoint. And we have these crazies that have all collectively gone into the bunker. They would be treating this with a bit of madness to begin with.
Yeah, and that makes everything else make a little more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Because, they're an offshoot, and the regular scientists are like, we don't like these guys. Maybe the regular scientists are like, if we put them in a bunker, maybe we can just close the doors. they will
it's
come
not
back.
The Simpsons where they're shooting them into the sun.
No, it's the Simpsons where the meteor comes by, it's the size of a chihuahua's head, and it knocks the whole thing down. Flanders is bomb shelter.
But yeah, I kind of like that. So maybe we have the two factions. Yeah. We've got, I don't even know if NASA's got anything in California anyway. They wouldn't be based out of that.
Yeah. The Hubble telescopes in California.
Well, they do have. So yeah. There probably would be some.
Well, there's several places I think they operate out of.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
NASA. Well,
and that's where you can bring in a third element even, right? Is you have the official government.
Yeah, because you would figure with NASA working with the government, certain amounts of the politicians and the national security, the military would be protected during this time.
Absolutely.
To reestablish civilization.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. They're, at the very
but at
least,
the same time, there's also the conspiracy that they're letting, they can't save everybody, so they kind of have to let this happen. There's nowhere to put everybody.
Oh, yeah, they'll be like, no, this will be fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, there could be that sort of that unknown. Well, we don't know what's going to happen, but we think something is going to happen. So, Mr. President, you're going into the bunker.
Yeah, and this is a just-in-case scenario, sir.
Yeah, and the downside is you're saving probably some people that aren't worth saving that have bought their way into it.
Oh, 100%. And that's so, exactly what's
so
going to happen.
So, the good guys aren't that good. The bad guys aren't that bad. Yeah. You can see both sides of the of that conflict. Oh,
now we're making a TV series.
I think we are.
Oh, yeah.
And that's okay.
I know there's a studio who wants to make this into a 10-part TV series. You can have it.
Yeah.
If
no,
you can
no.
Get the, if you
we
can get
must
the option.
Be involved
oh, no,
in
you,
doing this.
You must credit us and you must copyright
Invasion of the Remake. We want to write an episode.
Oh, yeah. I'm totally down for that.
Yeah. Not just a credit. We're writing something.
I'm down for that. I'm down for that.
None of this free shit.
No. No, because it is. We've sort of taken this sort of basic concept, and we're already starting to expand it into sort of a multi
bigger idea. This would lend itself well to actually a TV series.
Yeah, absolutely.
So now I have a question too. Like we've established like kind of the super top secret agency filled with like the nut bars. So I'm wondering like how hard or easy would it to be get in and out of that facility? How do we,
oh, for
do
the
we
average
handle the same
person?
Way? Yeah, because I mean, we've got to have an escape at some point.
Now, what would be their more agenda for bringing, like the scientists, I can see with their agenda for grabbing the survivors and figuring out why they're surviving in the first place. That makes sense, but you would think they would have properly protected themselves, so they would also not want to threaten the few survivors that are left. So how are the crackpots the threat, and why would they be interested in the survivors in the first place?
The crackpots get Samantha and the non-crackpots get Reg.
We split repopulating the Earth. Really simple.
Mm. Oh, they want to have orgy time.
No, they want to they want to make the gene pool deeper.
Yeah.
Pure and simple.
Yeah.
Because they're not scientists necessarily, but they do.
They do think about repopulation. So they're like, hey, there's two girls. And they're broadcasting over Twitter or TikTok.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they're in the right age.
Yeah,
it becomes what was that movie where it was like a blind guy in a house, and then it just turns into something later on. Don't speak or don't talk.
Oh yes, I was just trying to think of the title with Stephen Lang in it.
Stephen Lang.
Don't breathe.
Don't breathe. Yeah. That's it.
So good.
Yeah,
that's what I felt like. There's going to be a whole tied up turkey baster scenario.
Ooh.
That's dark.
See, I don't mind darkly funny either.
Yeah, that's
like,
real dark.
When we got to the turkey baster scene in that dark horror movie, I laughed my ass off. Even though it was awful. It is the funniest thing that has been turned really horrible.
Yes. You laugh because you're
still
because it is uncomfortable. Because it's uncomfortable, but we need to do it in a way where it's actually funny, not uncomfortable funny.
Yeah. Have the whole thing where it's somebody's like going, yeah, so like we're gonna impregnate you with this guy's sperm, like that guy's sperm, what a weight. No. I don't want dumb babies.
We gotta have the rock, paper, scissor, who goes in the closet first. It's like, well, I guess I'll see you in 9 months. You got number two.
But I think that would make sense. We're not saying that these conspiracy theorists are stupid. They're just crazy.
Yes.
And everybody knows how genetics works now. It's not like it's a mystery like it was 400 years ago.
Yeah.
It's pretty
they'll still want to repopulate.
But I have some inkling as well that they'd want to be looking for like a way to vaccinate themselves in case they wanted to go outside, because they are going to believe that it's all infected out there.
Yeah, and again, if you're a survivor, they might just, hey, like a blood transfusion might flush it out of the next person, like this, without any real scientific knowledge. You'd figure there'd be some guys that might know some basic science, and maybe some surviving crazy doctor dude that worked in a clinic somewhere.
Well, yeah, if they're survivalists, they're going to have basic medical knowledge, because most survivalists would, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. But not enough to create vaccination.
No.
Where you got the real scientists who want to do the real thing. So I would like, that would give us an opportunity to split them up.
Mm-hmm.
And Reg could get some stuff she might not otherwise be able to get, and possibly even military support to go get her sister. But there'd also maybe be the conflict where going, well, no, we can't take the risk of losing both of you.
Oh, yeah. I think that's
so they want to keep her act. And that's where we can have some action. Yeah. And where our love interest with Hector comes into play, getting her out of one facility, gathering up equipment so they can go get to the other one. Then now the other scientists come to collect them, and then we get the conflict at the survivalist camp.
Yeah.
Nice.
I think it's working really, really well.
Cool.
And what could be fun, too, is you could have somebody in like the survivalist camp who's like going, oh, wait, no, these people are crazy. Like, have somebody.
Well, and that's where the Mary Warrenoff character would come into play.
Yeah.
I think that she maybe is an unwilling participant in the whole thing.
Oh,
to begin
she's
with.
Married to somebody who said, oh, we got to go with these guys. Yeah. And she's like, oh, she's, I should have divorced you years ago.
Yes, because the stuff coming out of their mouths is crazy to her.
Or better yet, she answered a want ad for a job on, like, Workopolis or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And not realizing that she was going to be working for these guys, that they were looking for, like, a research scientist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? And she ends up mixed up with these guys unintentionally. I think that would be actually kind of funny.
That would be good.
And it would give, it would make more
what
sense.
What if
for,
she was actually.
And she's also trying to escape. So that's
what
another.
What if she's not any of those things? Like, well, I actually kind of like the Workopolis thing. But what if she's the same age and does know our two protagonists here, Sam and Reg, and she's like the mean girl from school or whatever, and is in this camp, and she even she's realizing you guys are insane. Yeah. And so it gives we
I
get to
we
see a
character
we could
sure.
see a character turn I with
I would
her.
Say add that character, because I still think we need like kind of sort of somebody scientific who's just
working
not
in
yeah.
survivalist
not
camp,
on
right?
board
yeah, yeah.
And
you know,
maybe it could be there are two, they are two characters.
Yeah.
You have her and then like the mean girl who's like going, she's talking to her because they finally, they understand, they've sort of sensed that the other one also doesn't
believe
the
scientists were going to give Sam like lethal injection because they thought she was infected.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, why would you bother with the resources if she's just going to dissipate in
that's
three or four days
part.
Anyway?
Yes.
I mean, maybe they thought they were being humane.
Yeah,
by not letting her suffer through that, but
it wasn't clear.
No.
No. They didn't even test her. That was the dumb part.
No. They're terrible scientists. That's why I was thinking, well, if they're terrible scientists, why
then
would they be terrible?
Works.
Survivalist
yes.
works.
Yeah. But yeah, I'd like to think that they have like somebody like she, maybe the Warrenoff character is an actual doctor.
Yeah. She can test for infections.
But she's also not on board with what these guys are doing, but she's now stuck there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you could have that dynamic between your mean girl turn and the doctor.
Yeah.
So she has sort of that female character to work off of until we see our leads show up at
and
the facility.
You have, like, mean girl character and Samantha, and they have their interactions where it's sort of like they're kind of coming together. It's like, you know, we've had our problems in the past, but we got to get out of here.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so there, you could have some fun dynamics there for sure.
Yeah.
Especially now that we're turning this into an event series.
And you can even have her make the noble sacrifice to protect them as well, because she kind of did, but it was no kind of action sequence. She just showed up at the radio station so she could meet Hector long enough to
wrote
everything down, basically give him all the information as to what they just did, and then she gave herself the lethal injection that she was supposed to give Sam, who she just put to sleep.
Oh, well, then you can have the whole thing, too, whereas rather than just writing it all down, what she does is takes Sam's phone and be like, okay, so my name is Dr. blah, blah, blah. This is what they're doing over here. And she's like going, everybody out of there, like they're insane. It's like going, honestly, my recommendation is just bomb it. Bomb it, bomb it, bomb it. We got to get rid of these guys.
Yeah, that feeds really well into that addition of social media and the network and the internet and so on. So I like that, actually, is rather than writing it down. And she can talk about the loss of motor control, the loss of memory, all those things are sort of in.
She's recording it. Yeah. And this is like because certain things are still functional, at least for a period of time, before they have to start working on it. Even the military or the surviving government is getting this stuff. Now, this kind of requires us to have a competent U.S. government. So we will be setting it into a more optimistic post-apocalyptic future.
Yes, our president is not going to be what they have. I never thought we'd be
putting those words together.
Right?
You know what? Oh, my God. I've got it. Okay. So in this world, what has happened is they're like going – part of this comet thing, they're like going, how fortuitous that this comet has come at this point, like when our country is finally, it feels like we've broken through some of our horrible past.
Yeah.
And now this comet comes to like shine on us and
actually, show us the way. Actually, the people put in the bunker weren't the president in his life because he was already dumb enough to look at an eclipse without proper safety glasses. So they just like, hey, you got to see this when it passes.
Oh my
God. And he's wondering where all of his chiefs of staff have went.
They decided they're going,
we've had enough of this asshole.
You have people just like going, it's just gonna take us too long to impeach him, let's just do this the easy way.
Let him have this party with his cheeseburgers.
Oh my, we are totally turning this into a horror
comedy.
That
would be funny. I think it should be a horror
comedy. We already live in it.
Yes.
You have to. Okay, now when you talk about the turkey baster and you laugh because it's so terrible, that's what that other stuff makes you think.
It is.
To laugh because it's too terrible.
That shit writes itself. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is it actually works. It actually works in context of the film, even all jokes aside. Mm-hmm. It actually works that these sort of military chiefs of staff are going, well, we won't tell them.
Yes, because otherwise we'll never get the deal with this properly,
and we'll never get rid of him.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because you go into a state of emergency like that, and
he's there.
He's
stuck. It's national emergency, so it's going to be martial law.
Yeah,
yep. And they're like going, yeah, no, we're just done. I mean, we bombed a lot of places, but even we think this guy's nuts.
Yeah. But that would be good to do in the opening sequence as well, because it would be really funny.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think that even our scientists are even...
The scientists are talking about like, oh, the deterioration is you can't speak properly, you don't know things, but how will we tell?
Well, because they're...
How will we tell?
And part of the news story is they are warning of this, like, and they're not being listened to. So they protect themselves. Some of the military is taking this seriously and planning for it. And we already got a president who's a climate denier, so this would be... fall right in line with everything we already know right now.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, and most of the government survivors are think tank people, smart, intelligent people who are going to be thinking about how to rebuild the world, not to control it.
Because
I want them to be beneficent. I want them to be sort of thinking about the future, not...
Yeah, yeah. If we're going to have that one group of crazy, we need to have the point and counterpoint of
which
it.
I also do want them to address one thing that did bother me about the ending of this movie is when all the dust got washed away with the water and like it's going into like the sewage and all the water system, like does it contaminate
anything? They need to have scientists taking tests. You get the guys out there with the Devo suits gathering up whatever they can test
If it rains and gets into our water system, what happens?
I mean, was it radiation that did this when the comet we got caught in the comet's tail? What did it throw onto the planet in the first place? Is it even survivable once it passes? And why is it survivable once it passes? But we know it has tinted the skies. That could just be all the dust of the human beings of the sky.
That could be,
But we need to know some of these details so we don't ask these questions later, because now we would. 84, we just accepted it as a bit of fluff, but we think about these things.
Well, and I also thought about when it went down, all the clothes went down to the sewer. I'm like, oh, that's going to get backed up. Oh, they're going to have just terrible flooding all over the place. Yeah.
Hey, and did the roaches survive? Is New York now rat-free? You know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And again, like, how does that affect?
How much of the earth was caught into this in the first place?
If there's no animals wandering around...
But the long-term effects of this story, I mean, you could have a bit of a bummer, but that could be things you explore in the series as it goes along, if it's a series. If it's just a standalone movie, ignore it. You want to keep it fairly feel-good. And the audience, at the end of the day, if you start thinking about it, you're like, oh, well, everybody's dead anyway.
Yeah. Yeah,
true. I mean, it's just going to take longer for these survivors. I would say
just maybe, if it is just a movie, we just have the explanations like, no, the dust itself is inert. Mm-hmm. It's just remains. And could have be the whole thing is like the reason is because all of the moisture in that human body was just released into the atmosphere. So we've just got a lot of humidity.
And so maybe
hence the big rainstorm.
If you lose the animals, it would force humanity to go vegetarian.
Yeah.
Until whatever surviving animal kingdom could repopulate.
Yeah.
And how much was protected in the first place. So, you know, I imagine some basics like chickens and cows might be protected because all those metal sheds and things.
Yeah. Metal sheds, like metal barns, like a lot of pigs. A lot of pigs because that's what pig barns are.
So there are certain things that could be repopulated, I would think.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah, I think there'd be, feedlots and stuff.
We've thought through this through more than we need to.
Yes.
We do, but I mean...
We're ready for the fucking apocalypse. Bring it.
This is why we do this. We have to fill in the holes that the movie has. We pay ourselves to think this way.
I'm like, okay, Netflix is still up. We've got to download all of the stuff before it goes down.
Yeah. Oh my God. I want that to be one person who's like, ugh, all friends, all of friends.
Well, that's Sam.
Oh, yeah. I will say right now, and I was going to say it earlier in the episode, this character name is fucking me up. Because every time he's Sam, I'm like, okay, what am I doing? What did I do? And I'm sure it's screwing up listeners, too.
Yes. Yeah. Samantha's her full name, but they always call her Sam. Yeah. Just like Regina's always Reg.
Yeah. But it is messing me up. I mean, there's been a few times where you said...
And Hector was Heck.
Yeah.
Sam's like, I didn't do anything. Yeah. Just leave me alone. Quit talking about me.
It's okay, Sam.
Yeah, I have to wait until you finish what you're saying. I'm like, okay. Talking about the movie, Sam.
He's like, I don't even have a TikTok.
I don't even.
I keep saying it, but I have no idea what it is.
I've been asking.
As a middle-aged man, yeah, I don't want to know.
I looked on Wikipedia. It's like you can lip sync and make tiny videos.
It would play well for Sam if she's doing little dances and stuff on her TikTok. But as soon as I heard it was some weird thing out of China, I'm like, that's fine. You don't need my information, China.
No, it's video sharing, right? But it's micro video. It's not like YouTube video. It's like 10, 30
It's the
video.
Twitter video.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Well, there was another thing where it was like 5-second videos that you could do.
That was Vines. And TikTok kind of replaced Vines when they shut down.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I look forward to the inevitability of that shutting down too. Because that's just what fads do.
Oh my God. We have to have at least one part of it where there's a meme. Where Sam comes up with like an apocalypse meme. I feel so dusty or something like that. Just got piles of dust, people. You know that feeling when you wake up in the morning and all the world is gone? And it's like just sad Keanu.
When nobody shared your meme.
Sad
Keanu. Another meme. The endless amount of memes. Okay, I think it's time for recasting. Yes. Let's get to it. Mine's not very robust, and I did struggle with it.
Because I didn't know what we were going to do, and I love this movie so much. I
only did the three lead characters and then the two sort of heads, think tank people, and that's all I did. I didn't bother with kids, because we never do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the cast is backfill, right? I mean, none of them are particularly present in the film.
Mm-hmm. As you can see, the things I've crossed out, I struggled.
It's hard.
Actually, you know what? I knew who I wanted for my Reg while I was watching it.
I did too, and then I found out she was 32, and then I'm like, well, fuck.
And I actually found out who the person I wanted was actually younger than I thought she was, so I was pleased.
I don't know how young the person I put in there, but I think she could play like younger. I'm looking at making her like 20.
I didn't hit on it until like the third go-around. Because every time when I thought I had it, I'm like, no, that's not working for me.
I'm still not sure of my Hector.
But I'd still, in my brain, if she was a little younger, I'm like, fuck, I really wanted Zoe Kravitz. I really did. But she's too old to play a teenager.
Mine might be too old, but...
I mean, there's plausible and then there's plausible.
Yes.
My teenager is younger, so my Sam is good.
Why don't we go with Trish? Cause...
Yes, ladies first.
Okay, thank you so much. Yay! Okay, so again, love this movie. Love what we did. So happy. Anyway, So for my Reg, I have Adriana Arjona. She was in the Good Omens series.
Who was she?
She was the witch.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So she was quite good. And then for my Samantha, Isabella Gomez. She's on One Day at a Time. She's also young enough to be like kind of teenager-ish. Mm-hmm. So she's got that. My Hector, I didn't know. I went between two people, but they're both kind of old. So it would be either, okay, Cliff Curtis, because I'm like, he reminds me of Robert Beltran, or Clifton Collins Jr. would be like overtly hilarious to have him as the last man. Because I think it would be funny because he's not classically handsome, but he's charming, I think. Mm-hmm. So I would like that dynamic to go along.
Okay.
And then I went for a callback. The doctor, I didn't know their name, so I put Dr. Scientist 1.
You did more than I did. I only did the two that we bothered to get to know. And I was like thinking about it because when I was learning their names, I had to look at their name tags. Thankfully, they had name tags.
Exactly. But she's the one who's like the one that seems to be bad, but turns out good.
Yeah.
Helen McCrory. And she's a really well-known British actress. She's also been in, she was Narcissus Malfoy in the Harry Potter films. Okay. And then for Dr. Scientist 2, which would be Jeffrey Lewis's part, I did Robert Beltran to have a callback.
He was Dr. Carter. Yeah.
And then for Doris, I also put Catherine Mary Stewart to be Doris. Because I thought that would be very funny.
I like that. Actually, I'm gonna go with that too, because I didn't cast Doris.
I didn't cast Doris either. So.
Yeah.
And my director, Lexi Alexander.
Well, you and I agree on that, so I'll go next, because I also went with Lexi Alexander. She's been mainly doing television these days, but...
She's the Punisher.
The Punisher Warzone is darkly vicious, but also kind of
funny
because of its over-the-topness, and I would like to see her bring some of that, so when the horror elements happen, it is horror, but when the comedy happens, it's comedy as well. Like, I'd like to see what she could do. I think her mouth has got her into trouble over the years, and her work has suffered for some of the things she said publicly, but I think forgiveness is time. She never said anything that was insulting. No. It was just Hollywood disagreed with it. I certainly did not.
No, that's the whole thing. She said what somebody should have been saying.
Yeah.
That's why I like her.
Yeah. Mainly is because she actually supported torrenting. That's what kind of got her blacklisted. Yeah. And I see her point. I'm not saying I agree with it, but I certainly saw her points when she said it on the Movie Crypt podcast. So go check it out. Dig through their archives because it was a really interesting discussion. And they weren't on board with it either. Yeah. But I'm always fascinated with her. I think she's great. And because she's got martial arts background, too, she can do some of the choreography.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was also thinking, too. Because like, when it comes to like the two girls defending themselves, those fights could be a lot more interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. And she
cast that way on purpose.
Ooh, sweet.
Nice. Yeah. So she knows how to do choreography. She's never been a choreographer, but she knows how to fight.
And she knows what it should look like.
And she knows how it would look like. So
as a director, she can see what she wants.
Yeah. So I think this would be a great return for Lexi Alexander.
Well, the guy for John Wick, he was Keanu's stunt double.
Yeah.
He's directing those. Yeah. So that's what I want.
Yeah. And I think we'll probably see more stunt guys as action movies are becoming more popular again. Hollywood, I think, is going to look to some of these guys as directors as well. So, and we're seeing lots of good action movies starting to pop up again.
For sure.
And they're a lot different than the last go around.
Because they actually have stories.
Stories and a lot of flippy.
Yeah.
And the action drives the narrative.
Yeah. So you and I agree on Lexi Alexander. I went with her as well. I struggle with my main characters, and I'm going to get to them a little later because they just wound up from the top. Getting crossed out, going to the bottom. So I'm going to start with my scientists. The first one is Audrey, the female scientist. I went with Layla. Maybe it's Layla. Maybe I'm not supposed to pronounce all these letters. I'm going to go with Layla de Oliveira from Lock and Key and Into the Tall Grass.
Okay.
She plays Dodge on Lock and Key right now. And for...
Ooh, good call.
I liked it.
Nice.
And for Dr. Carter, which was the Jeffrey Lewis role, I went with Giancarlo Esposito from Breaking Bad and The Mandalorian.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, you can see it, right? Yeah. I wanted somebody with a little bit of menace, but that was before we figured anything out. So,
well, Breaking Bad
now,
rocks.
Now these guys are survivalists. But
mine works really well.
It still works. It still works.
Oh, Giancarlo can do anything.
Yeah. Okay, for my Sam, the fun younger sister, I went with Sydney Sweeney. In fact, both my actresses for the two title roles were both in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Ooh. She's also in Hulu's Handmaid's Tale, Sydney Sweeney.
Nice.
And for Regina, I went with Maya Hawke, who is also in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and was Robin in season 3 of Stranger Things.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah, so you can start seeing it now, the way her character was in there. I'm like, okay, you know, she's already kind of shown us those qualities.
Awesome.
So I think she'd be a great Regina. For Hector, I went with Gabriel Darcoux from Slasher and October Faction. It's a new Netflix show.
Yeah, trying to think if I've seen I'll have to look at the trailer.
Slasher's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I wanted him also handsome because part of the story is the jealousy of Sam when she sees that her sister's interested in the last surviving male in her mind. So I like when DMK shows up later, who was kind of this unofficial nemesis to Regina, and shows up and becomes the very sudden love interest. But he's incredibly handsome. Yeah. And I went with Felix Mallard for DMK for that final bit because he plays Lucas in Lock and Key. And Sam hasn't got to that episode, but what an incredibly handsome man. So I want to give Sam what she wants.
Nice. Oh, but I also want, I'm 100% on board with that as well. But what we need is like one moment where Reg realizes, DMK, God damn it.
Yes, we don't get the moment.
We don't.
When he says his full name, and it took me a minute too. It's like,
And then they showed the plate,
and then like, oh, that's who he was.
Yeah, no, you need that motherfucker moment.
Yeah,
yeah, she doesn't react in the moment. Like, she needs to get angry.
We need the reaction in the moment. Motherfucker,
get back here!
Stay off my leaderboard.
Yeah. Yes,
we're gonna have words when you get back.
After midnight, it's a game off.
Don't impregnate my sister.
Actually, in the end, that's kind of what you want.
We kind of do.
Okay.
But they got to know each other first.
Okay, Sam, take us home here.
Okay, let's
What do you got?
I have, again, fairly small cast. I'll start with my Regina. I think I've used her before, but she is so good at physical action. Mm-hmm. She's one of the characters from Into the Badlands, Ali Ioannidis, 22 years old. Really good at the physical
action. Kind of the age, 22 can play younger. So I was like, 22 was kind of the max where I wanted to be as far as age of my actresses.
Yeah, and I knew that she was around that age. I didn't know she was quite that young, but she looked young enough to play 18 or 19.
Great.
Oh, yeah, if they look young enough, we're okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For my Sam, I went with Peyton List. She is currently in the Cobra Kai web series.
Oh, nice.
She plays Tori.
Never seen it, but
I've seen part of it. I don't remember her part, but it's fun.
Cool.
It's fun.
It is fun, yeah. And she's got the right look. And the funny thing is, even though they're like sort of, Allie's kind of really dark haired and bright blue eyes, Sam is blonde, but she's also kind of got that same sort of facial structure. So you can see them as being sisters.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Right? And I always kind of look for that when I'm watching movies. Could they be sisters? These two could. For my Hector, I went with an actor by the name of Rigo Sanchez. He's a regular on a series called Animal Kingdom, which I really enjoy. And then he's also made a few appearances on Lucifer.
Okay.
So again, I'm staying away from the sort of actors we know until we get to our scientists. And that's where I sort of fill it out with people we recognize.
Yeah.
For my Audrey White, I went with Judy Greer.
Okay.
Because I think that she'd be perfect in that role. She's the right age. Not too old, not too young.
Okay.
And fucking hilarious.
And as we've seen from Halloween, she can kick some ass if she wants
to.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then for my Dr. Carter, I went with John Hawkes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think he'd be great because he can play a survivalist quite easily, or he could play a scientist quite easily.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great character actor.
He is, yes.
He's the Jeffrey Lewis of now.
When I saw his name, I'm going through character actors. I'm like, that's our generation's Jeffrey Lewis,
right,
for sure. For my director, I went with Karen Kusama.
Oh, yes.
Director of Jennifer's Body, Segments in XX. Eon Flux.
The Invitation.
Like, so just a great body of work. She can do horror. She can do action. Mm-hmm. She can...
I think Diablo Cody would do, just rock this script.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I think those two working together again would be awesome.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Jennifer Bodies is a really underrated chick flick horror
it's
movie.
Good.
Yeah.
I like Jennifer's Body. Yeah, it's dumb quite fun. Good. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it's
only starting to get appreciated as a cult film now because it certainly wasn't appreciated when it came out.
I just have Diablo maybe like pull back on the Juno-esque hipster talk.
She's got a lot of Tarantino dialogue diarrhea going on. Which I don't mind. It's very Kevin Smithy as well. But the time and place,
much.
And I'm not sure that this would be the right movie for it.
No, this one it should be a fairly light dialogue film. There's a few moments there in the film where they have those conversations about what's happening, but the rest of it should be...
Well, her characters always sound older than they are.
Yeah.
And that's something that would go against the way this... Mm-hmm. Why this movie works in the first place.
Like, and I want... But you'd want somebody who, like, gets that pulp culture icons where they can speak with it while also kind of satirizing it. Mm-hmm. Like, especially the YouTube channel, say, like, hey, Sammers, or something like that. It's like, I mean, it's me again. And here's, like, just making fun of how those YouTubers, how they all really present themselves.
Yeah.
Sam's Army, I'm here.
I like it. You're even coming up with their slogan.
Yes.
Yes. So, apocalyptic time.
So, hey, invaders.
Hey, invaders. So here we are today. We're talking apocalypses. And how do you stay fresh? How do you stay fresh in the whole apocalypse? I mean, it's really hard. I mean, the water isn't running, but that's a whole other thing. There's lots of stuff around. Water coolers, just use that. Nestle bottles, because pouring it on yourself and not drinking it is better because they suck. Because I'm not supporting their policies, even though they're all dead.
Sam, you need to clip that.
Yes. We have to do our Welcome to the Apocalypse morning show. I'm dead serious.
Coming soon, right after this show is canceled.
Exactly. We have the one video that is always the movie reviewer just doing the same movie all the time. Going to hating it, then liking it again, then hating it, then liking it.
Blade Runner 2040 really wasn't as good as you thought it was.
Yeah, Blade Runner, upon 400th watch, Blade Runner 2040 really does stand the test of time. And that isn't because I'm going insane and having to drink my own urine. I really believe.
Trish, you are on a roll today.
Thank you.
And the winner at this year's Oscars is Blade Runner 2040 yet again.
Yay! It's the only movie we have.
Now, it wouldn't be a movie that people actually like. It would be like Valley of the Dolls or something really bad.
Yes.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Can you imagine watching that about 400 times?
No. Groundhog's Day.
Oh my God. That would be... Yeah, that would drive a person insane.
This is the metaphor of that.
Yes.
You know what? I'd like to have that, but they found another video later on in the series where they have Inception. So they're like, okay, so I figured out that me watching Groundhog Day over and over again is like Inception. Have I created the world in which Groundhog Day exists? Or am I in the world that Groundhog Day exists?
Man, you're the New Year's really brought out your improv.
Kidding, yeah. I mean, you can even go as far as Happy Death Day, even, right?
Happy Death Day. Oh yes, right. 2020 is doing a lot right now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we brought it home today with Night of the Comet, especially Trish over there.
Yeah,
she brought voice to it. We got so much that we decided to make it a 10-part miniseries that some studio is just going to rip off from us.
Yes,
we're not inviting it. We're copyrighting it. All our episodes are copyright. So get us involved.
Exactly. As you can tell, we can be part of this. We know how to write this
stuff.
We'll
work with you, not against you.
Exactly. We won't fight the current.
Nobody's got more experience at this than we do at this point.
Absolutely.
Nobody.
Literally nobody. In fact, other people have asked us about it, so let's just leave it at that.
That's right. All right, well, tell your friends, tell your family all about Invasion of the Remake. Get on board with the social media. Don't just like our posts, but share them out on your wall, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok.
Yes.
No, we're not on TikTok.
We're not on TikTok. So you're going to have to get that ball rolling on your own.
But help us understand what TikTok is.
Yes.
Actually, email us. What is TikTok?
Send us a TikTok about what is TikTok.
Actually, give us a 5-star review, but in that review, tell us what TikTok is.
There you go. And you could do that on Apple Podcasts and all your favorite podcast platforms. So make sure you leave that as well. Mm-hmm. And even when you're on the
frickin' YouTube.
Even when you're on frickin' YouTube, make sure you like and subscribe to us. Don't just like the videos, but subscribe and ding that bell for notifications so you know when a new video goes up. Because you're going to want to watch them right away, because some of those trailers, they don't like some of the music in there, and then I don't like fighting with them, and then sometimes it's easier for me to yank the video. So you're going to want to watch them right away, because the entire library isn't there. So if that worries you, then maybe subscribe to it on a different podcast platform, because we're everywhere else. Yes. And the entire library is everywhere else. So if you don't want to miss a thing, or maybe you want to make the switch over to Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, etc., that might be the time, might be the reason, because this one's got some music. And I can tell you right now, YouTube's not going to like it.
I know.
Because their little Autobots are kind of bitchy.
But we're everywhere. Like Night of the Comet, we are dust in the wind.
Ow. Ow. Oh, even that pun just hurts so bad.
Out of all the puns
one
I've
of these
made,
days I'm going to kill Sam with a pun, and I don't know when it's going to it's happen.
But he always thought it was going to be me.
Yes, I always thought it was going to be Jay.
This is why I'm a ninja. You never see me coming. Until it happens.
That's also what all her boyfriends said.
Oh!
To be fair, if you say they've never seen me coming, whose fault is that?
I think that's what Jay was getting to.
I was on your side on
Thank
that.
Thank you. Yeah.
That's what I got from it. Anyhow.
There's some of them that have. I'm going to be perfectly honest to them. Met some magical men, but not all of you are. You can figure out who you are.
Okay, well, I think it's time to go. This is Jason at the end of the apocalypse.
I used to be Sam.
I continue to be Trish in more ways than one. Just me doing Trishy stuff.
And we are out of here. We're making a t-shirt of Trishy stuff.
Testing. 1, 2, 3, 4. This is Samantha Belmont, 1/3 owner of the Greater Los Angeles Basin, speaking. You guys? Hey, is anybody there?
Where'd you get this, a dime store?
Beats me. It was given to me.
Yeah, well, it might be all right for date night in the barrio, but if we run into any more of those guys outside, we're gonna need a little more stopping power.
Date night in the barrio.
Now that you got everything that you wanted, you're gonna have to learn to deal with the dream.
And here's some other changes. Most of you guys had finals this week. Later. Their history, they're canceled. The legal drinking age is now 10, but you will need ID, let's be real. I'll be taking requests from all you teenage comet zombies on the hit line. That's 555-4487. Do you get it? 555-HITS.